Wait, have you started officially? I'm confused.
Shade quote from Dr. Jose Rizal.
Oh, yeah. Says,
hey, the pen is mightier than the sword.
Oh, honey, I don't think Rizal said that.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Pen
Noobs. Sad noobs. Pen noobs, yeah.
Yeah. So if you would notice, we're starting off this episode with a rather not so perky tone. And that's because we're going to talk about something. Well, it's not really depressing, but it's something that's very it's something that's really striking for us, especially for the past few days in relation to the context that we have in our country. We'll get to
do your own research. Like, I mean, we can't really give a lot of details, but if you type up Philippines right now, I'm sure that the news will pretty much give you a hint of why we sound like this and why, if you're on YouTube, we look like this as well.
But yeah, we're going to talk about something that's related to what has, I would say, quote unquote, bothered us for the past few days. And it's something that's something related to politics. Well, it's not really about politics per se, but we're going to talk about how everything is political. Mm-hmm. Even in the fountain pen stationery hobby.
Oh, real talk today, right? Real talk.
Yeah, and because we're in this kind of disposition, this kind of, you know, our energies are kind of down. So consider this like your headspace meditation. or this morning, whatever time you're listening to this episode.
Yeah. Before we start, though, I just want to, like, I'm sure that we can't do noob discoveries. Am I right? Like, we're just out of it.
What's the point of discovering something?
Oh my God, I'm jaded. Okay, no. But yeah. So let's just check in on each other. So Rai, what have you been doing for the past 5 days? How's life?
The past 5 days have left me not wanting to look at Facebook. Not because I have friends who do not align with my political beliefs, but it's rather because when I see the posts of my friends who have the same political beliefs as I do, it saddens me to think that just saddens me.
It's very sad. It also feels like a doomsday prediction. Yeah. It's very like, are we in the darkest timeline kind of thing? So I get you. I have, for the last 5 days, pretty much been working like a robot, and that's been helpful. But like in between the work and, you know, the leather crafting, which is like therapeutic to me right now, I've just been asleep. My nephew comes into the room and then he's like, "Chica, when are you gonna wake up? When are you gonna get out of the room?" And I'm like, I just can't. There are no words. There are no cans. As of late, and it's just, I don't know, it's an overwhelming feeling. But at least, like, I mean, we scheduled this, and we're here, we showed up. So it's really, like, at least we know that there are things that we still can do. And it's not like, we're not going to talk about the event, sadly. Yeah. We really can't, because given the climate that's in place, it would be... for lack of a better term, just like size. Yeah. So we're going to talk about something somewhat related, or like we're going to try to cover the same topic, at least tangentially, and buy in through the fountain pen stationery community and hobby. Yeah. So today we talk about pens, power, politics, wink, wink.
Love it. Pens, power, and politics.
Love it. So how do we start? We made an outline.
We're not entirely, you know, political science graduates. And we won't really talk about political science per se, but we're going to talk about politics and how politics in essence, is always associated with power. Mm-hmm. So we know that politics pertains to governance, it pertains to having a democratic society or different forms of states. But it is essential for us to highlight the value of pretty much power. And we actually trace power in history. Writing plays a very crucial role in stating power and likewise to question those in power.
Exactly. You might have seen our somewhat recent, I think it was last week, right? I think we posted on our Instagram feed about what did I post? I said something about not all of history is written with a pen, but rather, you know, history can be written through our actions as well. And that's what we did last week. But I mean, conventionally speaking, history is written by the powerful, and that's why using their fountain pens. History is written by the powerful using their quills and fountain pens and their, you know, parchment paper. Eventually, you know, that's the smallest connection we can make. And when we tend to ignore the fact that up to now we use the same tools, okay, that the same people in power used to record history and made certain histories rise prominently above others. And that just really got us thinking, throughout history, who gets to write history? Oh my God, I'm kind of rambling right now. So let's just get started on it. Let's just define terms very easily. When we talk about politics, we talk about governance of a country or an area, especially the debate or conflict among individuals or parties having or hoping to achieve power. Thank you, Google. Thank you, Oxford. And we start with that definition mainly because, we are in a country that is, in a sense, politically tumultuous. But also, we are part of a community that is, by contrast, quite or seemingly quiet. Seemingly chill. And that's a good thing. I really like going to our fountain pen network and going and seeing like-minded peers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But to be, I guess, when it comes to, you know, communities, I would understand that, let's say, for example, one community of fountain pen collectors would try to avoid being too blatantly political because it may, you know, to avoid conflict. I guess that's one thing, to respect other people's diverse views and to not be off tangent with what the hobbyist is really about. What I've seen the posts on, for example, the Fountain Pen Network Philippines, a lot of it, people are just posting pens and inks that are color pink. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. And that's encouraging. That's fun. Pero, diba, oh no, Ryan, I'm sorry. I'm so overwhelmed.
Fine. Yeah, that's why I'm kind of grounding our conversation right now. But I did see, it's not fountain pens though. One hobby that was kind of chaotic would be watches, luxury watches. I've seen a group in the Philippines. They were very political because of the choice of the color of the watch, it's rose gold, or it's a watch. And then there's the baller of, let's say, a politician. So kind of, in the words, in Filipino words, it's rambulan.
Bardagulan.
Bardagulan. Or in English, what's the best word? A riot. Yeah, it's an online. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, maybe, yun nga, like you said, to ground our talk today, maybe we can also talk about, you know, the embedded ethics and morals within the community and how it relates to conflicts amongst individuals and parties and the power that they hold. So let's get to that, because tea. Are we going to talk about the tea now?
We're going to talk about tea, actually. We just grounded it on some big words. concepts to, you know, ground our discussion, because we don't want to just talk about tea, but rather we'd like to talk about the tea, not necessarily, not so much intellectually per se, but it's really more of a discerning conversation about it, because we don't want to speak on just one angle as a consumer, but we'd also like to take into consideration the side of the producers,
yeah,
or those who created the products or commodities, which on some end, on one end, may be harmless, but on another end can be used to mobilize political beliefs or certain ideologies.
Okay. So spill the tea, right? What the tea?
Yeah, I think for the past few months, we've seen people in the community calling out brands that have rather unethical practices, one, or two, have created commodities for consumption which do not align with the general consensus and likewise the sentiments of the majority, I would say, or probably a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those controversial brands, I think a lot of you have seen it if you've been following the Instagram of Noodlers Inc.
Yep.
They posted an apology. I think that was 2 days ago or 3 days ago.
Yeah,
about two of their most recently released ink.
Yep.
Would you like to read their statement, or do you want me to, like, you know?
I can read it because I'm not sabog enough to not read. So Noodlers Inc. posted 2 days ago an apology regarding the recent labels of Vulgar Green and Bernanke Red having come to the public as me, the creator of Noodlers Inc. or the CEO, being an anti-Semite. This is not the case. I am sorry to all the people who these labels offended, as it was never my intention to do so. While I was ignorant of it at the time I created it, I now recognize that these labels unintentionally make use of anti-Semitic imagery, and putting these images into the world empowered anti-Semitism, and I will not make this mistake again. My reasoning behind the labels was never to offend anyone's religion. I sincerely regret the harm that the artwork of these labels has caused to anyone. None of this was intended, and I hope that those who I have offended can forgive me. I want to show my sincerity in this message by actions and not words. Effective immediately. Noodlers Inc. will begin the process of renaming inks and redesigning ink labels that are harmful to anyone. In addition, I will be making a $3,600 donation to the Anti-Defamation League, or the ADL. So that's the message from Noodlers.
Okay. I am interested, though. Like, let's try to unpack the inks which they've released recently, and I think now they are retracting eventually. So two people, or are they people? Volker
and Bernanke. Yeah.
Volker and Bernanke. So the issue here is that it tends to offend people of particular religions,
mm-hmm,
particular communities. It tends to be anti-Semitic in terms of its imagery.
Mm-hmm.
So who exactly are these two people, like Volker and Bernanke?
Oh my God, this is so hard, Ryan. Like, it asks us to talk about economics in a way that's like so distant. It's like banks, federal reserves, and yeah, all that stuff. And it's like, okay, I'm just going to read the stuff on Reddit. Thank you, Reddit, for being a resource. All right, so on Reddit, there's this post from 4 months ago that says it's Vulgar Green, the Vulgar Green controversy. And of course, guys, you can totally correct us, because clearly we're not from America. So we're just like trying to understand from our developing nation, okay, in Filipino perspective. All right, so Duvang RG at Tonea 4 minutes ago said, here's the best explanation I can gather. Noodlers made an ink with a label with Volker, Bernanke, and Greenspan. And all of them were former Federal Reserve chairs. And it was an ink, or maybe an ink series, about he, About how he thought Volker was the best. He put a halo over Volker's head, who is a Christian, and horns on the other two, who are both Jewish, which is like super anti-Semitic stereotype. He had made the ink for the Philly show, but now it's been delayed. And Doodler said that he didn't know they were Jewish, which makes sense, but still a crappy situation nonetheless. He issued a, well, this guy on Reddit said that it's a half apology on his YouTube, but then went on a rant about cancel culture. I'm not going to read the rest, but there have been responses from other fountain pen and ink brands. Like, for example, the CEO of Luxury Brands, which distributes Noodlers, said through their social media, let me begin by offering our deepest apologies. Luxury Brands of America does not manufacture the ink or labels. We do not have any input on the ideas, but essentially, we'll link this in our description, but essentially, like, the brands themselves that distribute Noodlers, have intervened on Noodler's behalf to not condone this naming practice. And if you actually look at Noodler's, I think 18 hours ago, Ryan, 18 hours ago, they actually made like this mass renaming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's their latest post wherein, like, for example, Apache Sunset. my least favorite, I mean, obviously Apache. My least favorite ink is now called Southwest Sunset.
What?
Bernanke, American Indians, Native Americans.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Guys, yeah. We're Filipinos. So we know that something is wrong, clearly, in the names, but we can't really pinpoint it out because we're not within that community. Our access is limited. So as of 18 hours ago, for example, Ottoman Azure has been renamed Azure. Bernanke Black and Bernanke Blue are now Brevity Black and Brevity Blue. Rome Burning. They actually called the one Rome Burning. Rome Burning is now Rome. Anti-fascist blue, which is also known as X-Feather Blue, is X-Feather Blue. Sensor Red is Brevity Red. Like, is he using brevity in like the way we English teachers know brevity means? Like brief?
I don't know.
How does Sensor and Bernanke turn into Brevity Black and Sensor Reds, like Brevity, whatever. There's Apache Tortoise Conrad Flex, Apache Tortoise Ahab. These are the fountain pens. It's now Mesa Turquoise. Hi, Tortoise. Cherokee Pearl Ahab is now Oklahoma. Comanche Ahab is Brazos River. Etc. Etc. Point is, like, after the apology from 2 days ago, and a lot of people calling out Noodlers Inc., I mean, they did rename stuff, but it just begs the question of, like, what the heck is going on behind creators' minds when they create certain products? I mean, we're creators ourselves, right? Like, right, Ryan, I can't words anymore. And when we plan these episodes, we actually plan them. Like, right. We're mindful of how many toes we might step on, whose toes we might step on. And like, we're not neutral. You guys know this. We're rarely ever neutral. And we have opinions because we're education majors or whatever. But like, I can't fathom not thinking about this.
What are your thoughts about the new names?
They're okay. I mean, I guess being that I'm not American, I don't fully understand what's going on with the new naming process and like what goes into it. Like, I still can't get over how Sensor Red is now Brevity Red when censorship is totally different from brevity.
Yeah, my initial thoughts with the new names is like it kind of scraps the identity of Noodlers. I like the branding that they've had for the longest time. They always look like they're kind of rebellious. You know, the brand is like a rebellious brand, and we're gonna use a bunch of rather dangerous names dangerous names for our inks, and and no one might question it. Well, whenever I see their titles, I'm like, oh, it's just a name. But at the end of the day, I'm like curious with what's the motivation behind the naming. I was thinking just, oh, probably it's just part of their whole branding, which is what I was mentioning earlier, like it's probably a rebellious.
It's edgy.
Edgy. It's exactly.
Like, the kids would call this brand edgy. Like they're pushing the envelope, trying to step on people's toes and seeing for how long they can get away with it.
Unfortunately, though, I stopped buying Noodler's ink. Not because of that, but it's really because they don't have the ink that I really want. Like there are certain inks that I want, not so much about color, but it's really about quality. And then, you know, their ink bottles are too big. Like I can't even finish them.
Ah, that's true. That's true. Well, I really just thought like, and guys, again, we have nothing against Noodler's inks. We're just like thinking about what the heck is going on here. Because being in this creator or maker, having our hats on with that role, we're just like, what the heck's going on, right? So I think that when I first encountered Noodler's inks, and then I encountered Vinda, I was like, maybe they're kind of similar or like Troublemaker. Because I thought that they were preoccupied with like a patriotic agenda. So when I found out about this issue from 2 days ago, I was like, oh, there can be problems.
Yeah.
I was just uninformed about them myself. I didn't do enough research. Because like when you look at Arvinta inks and Troublemaker inks, the names of their inks refer to like, they're mostly in Filipino or they have English counterparts. But the Filipino names are, they celebrate certain
artifacts,
artifacts, places, people that are, at least in our eyes and general knowledge, is they're unproblematic. Yeah, right? Sure. So I can't fathom what like, or rather, I want to ask Noodler's Inc., what goes into your process of naming in the first place, ever since you've been in existence?
Yeah, but I think the tipping point, I would say, would be when they released the two inks for the year, which was that one, the Volker and the Bernanke. And I think what really caught people off guard was the Bernanke red. And also I think the Volker one, where the two other people had horns. And as what you've mentioned earlier, what do you call this one? It has something to do with Volker being Christian and the other two, like Bernanke and who's the other one?
Being Jewish, and Greenspan being Jewish. Like he didn't know that he didn't know their religions, but he like slapped a halo and horns on the other two.
Yeah. So like, if you look at it like in terms of like symbolically, like I did a little bit of research. So what's with this whole symbolism, right? So this is from an article by Norman Cohn. So the horns of Moses, old symbols in new meanings. So there are Jews still alive who can remember being told that they could not possibly be Jews because they had no horns on their heads. Recently, this belief was fairly common in backward rural areas, both in Europe and in the United States, areas where normally no Jews were to be seen. It may well persist in remote corners even today. So yeah, that's like kind of like a myth or like a folklore about Jews having horns, and it goes back even to the Middle Ages. Yeah.
Not cool, guys. It's never cool to put horns on other people. You can buy your own like sexy devil costume, but don't put horns on other people. And I guess the bigger question is really like, as creators and as makers, do we have a moral responsibility or maybe an ethical responsibility over the things that we produce and the things that we do? And whenever we make mistakes, because inevitably mistakes are going to be, you know, we're going to end up making mistakes at one point. What is the best course of action?
Yeah. Correct.
Any ideas? Oh, wait, example of like a very interesting thing is when Hobo Nietzsche.
Oh, yeah.
Hobo Nietzsche last year was so hyped to release their Michael Jackson line.
Yeah.
And then even before release, there was an uproar and then they just pulled it out. I'm actually wondering what happened to those. Like, I'm sure that they already created stock.
over there? Are they like selling it somewhere or on like super markdown? I'm not really sure, but like I approved of that. Like they nipped it in the bud. It wasn't released. Clearly there was maybe a cultural factor there, or maybe, you know, in the same way that Ryan and I are Filipino and we don't have clear access to like American history and we don't really read it extensively to fully understand the noodles and controversy. Maybe similarly, the Japanese were just like, oh, Michael Jackson's popular.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Or like, he's done a lot, so let's make Hobo Nichi line. But once there was consumer, once there was consumer uproar, without hesitation, they took it out.
Yeah.
And that was really admirable on their part. Maybe it's easier for them as well to do that because things weren't released yet. But, you know, I don't mind that. Take it back. What do you call it? What do you have product recalls, because the object is still out there and someone can see it and someone may ask questions. And what are you going to tell that person? Of course, it's easy to just say that, guess what? There's a guy with horns. There's a guy with a halo, without telling whoever sees it, like the context of that thing. But I mean, just avoid it altogether.
Correct. Yeah, so on the side of, you know, the producer or those who are making all of these goods and commodities, yes, there may be times there will be poor judgment, or you might end up like not considering the implications, the full implications of it, because in reality, you can't really see all implications. And maybe you'll just find out later on when your consumers, the consumers end up revolting or like saying things about the good. But the best course of action really here is to come clean and just admit the mistake. And I think that's what Hobonichi and Nooders Inc. actually did. Now, it's also interesting to ask ourselves, however, in terms of like the consumer side of it, like this is now a point wherein we have to ask ourselves, really, when we're buying things, are we actually mindful of the ethics that goes with the production, or even with the philosophy of the production, or even its representation?
Oh, this is relevant to me as of late. Why? Because yesterday, I think I posted an Instagram story on my personal asking people, like, give me brands that I now have to avoid given the current circumstances. And a lot of people replied, and a lot of people, like, they were corrective. And I was just like, I posted these brands, like, there's this particular list of like approval list to support, and then this list of like not approved list, avoid, right? And it looked pretty black and white, but at the end of the day, I put like, do your own research. It's never really clearly black and white. And then like later in the day, I think it was like 11:30, I was like sewing my leather stuff, and then I took a break, I scrolled through Instagram, and then I saw I think it was a former student, and then he posted something like, boycott kayo ng boycott, paano ang mga manggagawa? I will translate into English. If you boycott, the workers will suffer, right? And I've been bothered about that all day, because I've been thinking about, first, the effectiveness of boycotting, second, its sustainability, and three, what I can do as a consumer.
Yeah.
Right? Because when you've got, given the circumstances, say like Noodlers and Hobonichi, they intervened clearly when there was community uproar. And that will have an impact, of course, it already had an impact on the purchasing of their products. So it can have a good impact, it can have a bad impact, but when you intervene somewhere in the middle, you're like mitigating the worst possible scenario, right? But when you're boycotting something, that's like absolutely nothing. I will not support you. That's done.
I just think that it's better to look at it in a different perspective, like focus on what you'd like to support instead of on what you'd like to boycott. Because whenever there's always this tendency in the society to not celebrate the good, but rather the bad. I think that's one of the worst things that has happened over the past few years, wherein cancel culture has been rampant. In all areas of our lives, you know, teachers getting canceled, celebrities getting canceled, brands getting canceled. But at the end of the day, is it really a matter of canceling? Is canceling corrective? Or is canceling just another way of us to continue on with our toxic traits? And feeling righteous.
I get it. I really get it. Like, I remember last night, after all the posts, naming the names, which were, oh my God, it's so difficult, like, going through them. And, like, so many people messaged me. And I was like, oh my God, did I make a mistake? And I'm like, maybe not. So I followed up with a story saying that exactly the same thing that you did, that at the end of the day, as a consumer, it's our responsibility to do our research, one, but also to uplift the brands and the products that align with our ethos and with our principles. While producers of products, fountain pens, stationery, like book covers, notebook covers, like Hobonichi, yeah, I love you. I still love you, Hobonichi. While they have a responsibility, right, to do good, and make goods that are good, we also have a responsibility as consumers to, you know, to consume products that are aligned with our principles. And how would you call it? Where do the workers come in? Well, simply, I mean, it's inevitable still that certain businesses will suffer because of the decisions that they made, or like certain workers, sadly, will suffer because of the decisions that their administrators have made. The least we can do is to also mindfully purchase things. And I know I keep saying mindful purchasing, but what actually goes into it? Whereas previously, mindfulness just asked that you may be like, do I need this? Does it spark joy, right? This time around, maybe the other questions you might want to ask yourself when purchasing our product is, was this product created even just as a concept and produced as an actual item ethically, right? Did the person up top who conceptualized this product, who posted this product on Instagram with this particular caption, did they think about the parties that would be uplifted or be put down by such a, it seems so like butterfly effect. It seems so minuscule a thing, but it's actually bigger, because there are particular brands in this country that are huge, despite their affiliations and despite their denials, right? And like, on one hand, like, the good thing is that, or rather, with regard to these brands, I'm just like, thank God I don't need their product.
You just want them. You don't necessarily need them. Like, you can live without them.
Yeah, you can live without these products by these brands that were listed in the boycott list.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like, there's always alternatives. So when I'm buying something, I just look at, like, my first instinct now is to look at the list of the people and the products and the brands that I want to uplift. And that's good. So go Vinta.
Go Vinta. Go brands who put forth sustainability, environmental awareness, and promote certain values that align with whatever values you have, which we hope is good. And we know it's good.
It sucks to speak so ambiguously in this episode.
Yeah, well, we don't really want to go that far into, like, you know, talking about politics per se, but at least what we would like to communicate here is that, also I think it's related to really politics, is that one of our realizations is that we don't need to cancel other people. We don't have to cancel brands, because I think that's one of the lessons that people can gain actually from the political dynamics in the Philippines, is that true, people make mistakes, people make poor decisions. For brands, of course, they would, when they make mistakes, they would make up for it one way or another, some would do a PR spin. But luckily, all of these brands so far that we've encountered, except for one brand, which who, you know, made use of content creators' works without due credit. You know, most of the brands have been very responsible in making up for their errors. Mm-hmm. So point being is that when it comes to brands, they will make up for it. But what if it comes to people? When we cancel people, will we call them out for their mistakes and we don't do it kindly, they'll stick to that.
Yeah.
Because you've already made them feel deprived of the right to make decisions, all the more they stick to their wrong decisions.
Yeah, and you've essentially called them out for being dumb, quote unquote, without any basis, by the way. Or like with a singular basis, which is kind of unfair because people are more than their than that one decision that they make.
Yeah. Right. Sure. But the thing is, there's no right, there's no like concrete answer to all of these things, but it's really about dialogue. And it's good that Noodlers Inc. has come forward with their error. Obonichi has moved, you know, come forth with their error. Esther Brooke has not done so yet.
Oh my God, you named Ethan.
Well, you know, they haven't really done much yet. Like, it's like they just brush it off. So, okay, there's no accountability there. But yeah, point being is that we just have to drop it either way because I have not seen any effort on their end. And probably this is just our small way of voicing our opinion.
That's helpful, actually. If you name a wrongdoing, no ba? The faster, I guess, there will be a response. It's like a medical diagnosis. You got to name the sickness before you cure it. So hopefully, give credit, guys. Give credit. And I guess this just makes me think about, like, we were talking about politics and its definitions being tied so much to power. Right? In the same way that governments are elected into positions of power, the people also tend to forget that they're powerful, right? We're not giving people power per se. We're like sharing the power that we have as citizens to the people that are elected. I'm sorry, I'm just going there. I'm not naming names. But the point is, like, democratically speaking, that's how it works, right? And the thing is, if you set that situation of government in parallelism with this like microcosm of any community or any creator or any brand or any product, I think that brands are coming to realize and creators and makers are coming to realize that just as much as they are powerful, so too can they be disempowered by their consumer base.
Yeah.
And the sooner that brands realize that, the sooner can this partnership teacher-student partnership, the sooner that partnership can actually create better things. Impossible. And I mean, that's also why we do our best to engage with you guys in the community. We have now what I like to think long-term friends in the community, because as creators, we do want to hear from you. And guys, call us out. if at one point or another, right, we make a mistake, we're going to fess up to it. And you can trust us on that. Because as producers of maybe not so tangible a product as like a pen or a notebook cover, we're still creating a product in this podcast. And having something out in public means that it'll be consumed. Right. And there is a responsibility that we have in creating something consumable. My mom does not make food to poison me. Clearly, she has a responsibility to feed me and to nourish me, right? So in the same way, us creators of this podcast hold us accountable in the same way that we in the community, the brands that we know and love, we can still love them even if they make a mistake, because we have the power to hold them accountable. And in the same way, on a larger scale,
when governments are there and we vote them into power. Collective na to, ah, kasi nga Philippines.
Because we're a country. We're a united, I mean, we're pretty much a homogenous, quote-unquote, homogenous citizenship because we're all citizens. That's the baseline requirement. Diba? We're going to hold people in power accountable. And that's our, like, superpower that we tend to forget.
Right. Just to be clear, holding people accountable is not synonymous to cancel culture.
Mm-hmm. It's not. Please clarify how. Just in case people get lost, please discuss.
Well, when you hold people accountable, you make them correct their mistakes, their errors. Cancel culture is no matter how hard they apologize, no matter what they do, people don't accept them. And that's cancel culture. It's like you want them to fail. When we hold people accountable, we don't want people to fail. We want people to do better. Yeah, I guess that's the best way to differentiate it.
That's so nice. We don't want people to fail. We want people to do better.
So when we call out, let's say, like, yeah, when people call out Noodlers, Hobonichi, they wanted these brands to do better. And when Sky Bambi called out Esther Brook, and for sure she wanted Esther Brook to do better, but I think they didn't do anything.
Or update us if they did.
Yeah, as if they did. But so far as I know, this like they just brush it off. But point being is that to achieve some form of harmony, is it symbiosis? Can you use the word symbiosis? That's suicide.
I have no idea. It's like, is symbiosis like mutualism where like the little fishies attached to the shark and then...
That shark in how shark bends.
Sorry. But yeah, I have no idea. What is the word? Okay, just stick with harmony. It's easy. We get that.
Achieve harmony, similarly to our fountain pens, our inks, our paper, and all of these things. We have to understand how all of these things work together. Brands work together with consumers. It's all into
it. Aww. I have no idea. Like when we went into this episode, guys, we had an outline. It was just filled with words and questions. Like legit. Because we're, and I don't know if I want to apologize for it, but I will anyway. But like, thanks for bearing with us for the length of this episode. It's been really tiring. And in like, I think our driving force to talk about what we're talking about is really, at least on a small scale, within the things that we can access without getting so hurt in the community, we can call for accountability.
Yeah. So and, there, yeah. I think what matters the most here is that in relation to politics is that whether people lose or win, whether people are, you know, called out, it's a matter of how you respond to all of these things. When a politician loses, how does he or she respond to it? When a brand is called out, how does the brand respond to it?
And what fountain pen do they use to respond to it? Kidding.
Vanishing Point. Pelican.
Oh, Pelican. Controversial.
And,
in this country.
Benu.
Ooh, the Benu pen. Benu moved, by the way. That's the other thing. I think Benu moved from Russia.
To Georgia.
Yeah.
Georgia.
Again, that's like, good job, Benu. Like, that's a big thing.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, Benu's a fountain pen brand. And fountain pens aren't exactly the most popular thing. So that's really just a huge thing to do. And I bet it's a huge decision to make. But again, it's a decision that they had the power to make and they took it. So kudos.
So there. Everything is political.
Who said the personal is political again? What? I should know who said that. The personal is political. I know a feminist said that.
Political.
I can't. Everything is political. Sorry, darling.
But I just want to end my statement with a quote from Dr. Jose Rizal.
Oh, yeah. Says,
hey, the pen is mightier than the sword.
He said, sobrang uninformed. I'm sorry. Really?
I think that's what I learned. Oh my gosh.
God.
Revisionism on my end. That's what I remember my teacher telling me, unless my teacher was lying.
Oh, honey, I don't think Rizal said that.
It was said by English author Edward Bulwer Lytton in 1839.
Maybe Rizal was a fan of that. Oh, God. See? That's the thing with history.
Oh, we're going to tie it back to history now. Yes, no, guys.
I can't even go there anymore.
So that's the deal. It's been a bit of like a roller coaster of an episode. We get lost in parts because we're not okay. But we know it's okay to not be okay according to the K-drama. So we're going to go with that for as long as we need to mourn. But trust that we'll pick ourselves back up. Again, thanks for bearing with us. Keep your pens handy right beside you. Know that you as a consumer and if you're a maker have power. And everything that you do can eventually be construed as political, whether you like it or not. So, ingat, ingat. Be careful, or more than that, be mindful. Because there are people out there in power who will hold you accountable.
Yeah. So, that pretty much ends the episode of Pen.
Noobs.
Everything is political. Bye.
Bye.